Leftover questions about the Gordon Hayward TPE and some limitations. Plus, Evan Turner is back in Boston. We will rejoice on this Tuesday Locked On Celtics. Millie, let's go. Randy J's back with the vengeance. Back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. It's like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline, global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the C's, that's the best way. Melly. Hey there, John Corrales here from MassLive.com. Welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast. I'm the MassLive Boston Celtics beat reporter and host of the Locked On Celtics podcast. If you're a new listener, welcome aboard to the Monday through Friday podcast covering the Boston Celtics. It's the number one Boston Celtics podcast in the world, and it's all because of you regular listeners who rated it 5 stars, gave the good written reviews, and shared the podcast. So you new listeners, I hope you enjoy the show and subscribe. Basketball is back soon. They're going to be out there working out this week, and games will be coming up in a week and a half. So the podcast shifts into normal mid-season gear very, very soon. For now, in segment one here today, I will tackle a couple of leftover questions from the Gordon Hayward podcast from yesterday. If you missed that, a full deep breakdown of the traded player exception, what it means, what it is, how to use it, who to target, stuff like that. So I asked for if there were any residual questions, things I didn't think of. There are a couple that I'm going to get to in segment one. Segment two, some of the limitations that I alluded to, and something else that came up that I didn't think of yesterday. That's in segment two. It's a very important thing and why I think the TPE is going to be used this season mostly. And then segment three, Evan Turner, which is just hilarious. What a, really the best news so far of the year. So again, yesterday I answered a ton of questions about Gordon Hayward, that full breakdown. If you are still unsure and you didn't listen to that podcast, you'll get everything there. But I was asked a couple of questions, and I wanted to answer them right away in this podcast. First question a couple people sent out has to do with multi-year contracts. The Celtics have a traded player exception for $28.5 million. The question was, what if in year one, it's below that, but in year two and year three, it's above that? Well, that doesn't matter. You can trade for multi-year contracts with a traded player exception. I know some of the other exceptions, maybe you've heard a disabled player exception, some of these other things that maybe you've heard on other podcasts, other outlets. Traded player exception basically still allows you to operate like most other trades operate. So if the other player has a 3-year contract, 4-year contract, whatever, it's that first year contract that's salary matching. So we're looking at guys who are making $28.5 million or less overall for matching salaries here. Okay, now that's, I'll explain in segment two again why that's not really, really what we're looking for, but technically that is what's allowable. So if a guy makes $28.5 million this season and then 30 plus million next season, like, well, you know, it's like Gordon Hayward's contract. If a guy with Gordon Hayward's exact contract existed out there, the Celtics could trade for him. In the future, there's no weirdness with the future salaries. You have to match, like in any trade, if the Boston Celtics were looking to trade for James Harden, they would have to match his first year salary, his current salary, and whatever's next year doesn't matter. So that's the answer to the first question. The second question has to do with combining players with the exception in order to clear space. Now, I explained yesterday that you cannot send out the $28.5 million player exception and say $5 million of the Daniel Tice contract to create a $33.5 million exception. You cannot trade for a guy making that by combining the exception with the other players. Now, I also, and I'll get into this a bit in segment two, the Celtics are hard capped, so they don't really have $28.5 million to use right now anyway. And I said yesterday, if the Celtics want to trade for somebody with $28.5 million contract, they would have to send out players in a separate deal. They would have to clear the cap space, just like when Charlotte waived Nick Batum to clear up the cap space to sign Gordon Hayward. The Celtics would have to do something, make some sort of move in order to clear the space under the hard cap. So I was asked multiple times, can players go out as a way to that team you're trading for? So let's assume they decide they want to trade for Otto Porter, which they're not, but let's assume that they want to trade for Otto Porter. He makes $28.5 million. The Celtics need to clear $9 million in cap space. Can the Celtics send out that amount of money in contracts to the Chicago Bulls in order to make this trade work? Well, the answer in this particular case would be no. They do not have any trade exceptions. They're over the cap. They're really licking the tax line too. So if they wanted to get under the cap, they have ways to do it. Trading Otto Porter into the Boston trade exception is one way to do it. But the Celtics, if they wanted to send players out to clear $9 million in space, it would have to work for the other team. So they're basically looking at separate deals. The Celtics sending out $9 million, $9.5 million for basically nothing, and Chicago sending Otto Porter into the trade exception. Now, you can still make a trade with the team. Boston can send players and picks all to the same team to get that player into the trade exception. That is okay. But the mechanism for it for the Celtics to get that player cannot include aggregating those salaries. Does that make sense? You follow me? Boston somehow cobbles together $9 million in salary. So let's pretend that Jeff Teague, Romeo Langford, and Aaron, no, I don't want to do it, Neesmith. Let's say Robert Williams, whatever. That's not the exact amount, but that's close. That's 6-7. No, that works actually. So Romeo Langford, Jeff Teague, that's $7.5 million. Robert Williams is 9.5, something like that. It doesn't matter. I don't know why I'm bogging down. So let's say another team has the cap space, the ability to acquire those three players, the roster spots, all of that stuff. The Celtics can send that team that player. Okay? If Chicago had a mechanism to take those guys, they could. Boston can then take their player into the trade exception in a separate deal, and that clears the space. That's fine. That works. Okay? But there's a distinction. As long as that other team has a way to acquire those players. So I hope that clarifies those last couple of things. So you cannot combine the TPE with anything to aggregate and match, but there's nothing that says you can't trade players and to the same team and use the TPE with the same team. All right? Now, there are complications. There is something that's very important that I didn't consider in yesterday's podcast, and that is coming up next, where I explain why the Celtics are probably going to use this in pieces and probably going to use it, or at least most of it, this year. Trying to figure out all of this stuff is like trying to break through a wall. And let me tell you, I'm not a big numbers guy, so getting through a contract and processing it and understanding it takes a lot of work. And it's breaking through a wall every day I try that. So I'm glad that I've got Built Go, because it's going to get me through my wall and can get you through yours, whether it's physical or mental. That time in the middle of the day where you're really crashing and it's hard to really focus, or that time after work or before work where you're trying to get to the gym and you really want to blast through a workout. These easy 1.5 ounce packages of workout gel can really help you bust through that wall. Put it in your briefcase, put it in your backpack, put it in your purse, golf bag, whatever you're doing. You can use this energy gel to get through that wall without that crash feeling that you're so used to with some of the other products that are out there. 3 great flavors in peanut butter, honey, chocolate, coconut, and chocolate mint. The Built Go combines their energy gel with collagen protein, which is fast absorbing and it gets into your system really fast, and it's easy on your stomach. It's loaded with all this great stuff to really ignite your work. B3, beta-alanine, honey, a kick of caffeine, vitamins B6, B12, and the collagen promotes joint, soft tissue, hair, and skin health, so it can literally make you look better too. Go to builtgo.com, use the promo code LOCKED, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED for 20% off at builtgo.com. Let's go. Have you subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast yet? You can wherever podcasts exist, and you can follow us on Spotify. It is media week all week in the NBA, and I will be on Zoom calls on this Tuesday with Danny Ainge, Brad Stevens, Jason Tatum, and you can follow that work on masslive.com/Celtics, and I will play some of that here on tomorrow's Locked On Celtics podcast, especially the Ainge stuff when it comes to Gordon Hayward, because I love to let you hear what he's got to say directly. I'm working on getting some Gordon Hayward sound too, but we'll get you Danny Ainge for sure. Brad Stevens, all of that stuff. The Locked On Celtics podcast is where you can find all of this stuff as it happens every day. And all week long, like I said, is media week in the NBA. So Tristan Thompson is official. He's officially now a Boston Celtic. He has signed the mid-level exception, which is a 2-year deal worth about $19 million. Now this, and there is still some accounting to be done here, but this brings the Celtics about, first of all, it does two things. I explained this yesterday, but I want to reiterate. It hard caps the Boston Celtics. The hard cap this year is somewhere around $139 million. The formula is that, you know, whatever the tax line is, it's about $6 million above the tax line. So the luxury tax this year is $132.6. So the hard cap is $138.928. That's $138,928,000. That's the hard cap. The Celtics now, by virtue of giving Tristan Thompson the full non-taxpayer mid-level exception, cannot at any point, for not even 1 second, for not even one penny, go over that number. So the current, as I see it, payroll for the Boston Celtics, if it includes Javonte Green, is about $119 million. If it does not include Javonte Green, that's still not a guarantee, it's about $117.3 million. So let's just go with $119 million, and we're looking at $139 million approximately for the hard cap. That's $20 million. So the Celtics have $20 million left to play with. That's why I was saying in segment one, and that's why I said yesterday, that they cannot use the full traded player exception, the full $28.9 million, without moving players. which again, they can. They can get rid of Jeff Teague, no problem. Somebody would take Romeo Langford if the Celtics don't think he's going to pan out. There's a way you can give up Semi Ojeleye, Robert Williams, depending on how that goes, Carson Edwards. There are a lot of these little contracts that add up. The Celtics can find a way to move these guys without putting without affecting their core, really. So they're probably not going to do that. So don't get hung up on me saying that they can move those guys as if they would. They would if it was for the right situation. And I don't think the right situation exists. So Giannis is not coming over in the trade exception. So it's not going to happen. But the possibility does exist. So that's it. But it's really important to note that the Celtics are hard capped this year. Now, next year is going to be an even different story. And this is, I got to shout out Ryan Bernardoni, who I've had on the podcast before, but he was on the Winning Plays podcast. And he said something that just, it didn't, in all of my kind of trying to explain everything, one important thing didn't click in my head. And it's that when you receive a player via sign and trade, you get hard capped. So one possibility that I floated out there was the Celtics could not use it this season. They can go into the summer. You could find a guy that you want and then use the exception to sign and trade a player and just basically sign a free agent. So free agent X is out there. He's worth $28.5 million. You go to his team. You say, all right, we'll negotiate a sign and trade. They get a trade exception out of it. Great. Celtics get this guy making $28.5 million. Great. Except that hard caps them, and they still have on the books next year Kemba Walker, Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, Jason Tatum, Tristan Thompson. Now, all of those guys, Kemba, $36 million, Jaylen Brown, $25.5 million, Marcus Smart, $14.3 million, Jason Tatum's first year extension kicks in, $28.1 million, and that's if he doesn't make an all-NBA team. That can go up even higher next year, and we're talking about now if they pick up the team options on Romeo Langford, Grant Williams, and Robert Williams. We're talking about a payroll already at $135 million. The salary cap is going to go up to $112. It's going to go up by $3 million. Everything goes up by $3 million, which means the hard cap is going to be at about 140, we'll say 143. Well, if we're looking at a payroll of 135 or so, 134.5, and a hard cap of 143, that's only $9 million. That's not, you're not able to use $28.5 million in the way that I suggested. The way around that would be Kemba Walker goes in a salary dump and his replacement comes in. If that was the case, that would, you know, you could also find ways, you can salary dump Tristan Thompson, you can salary dump some of these other guys if you wanted to, but it gets extraordinarily complicated and it really impacts the makeup of your team. So, putting all of this together, it's now pretty clear that we're probably not going to see the Celtics use the entirety of the $28.5 million. It's probably not going to happen that way. It's extraordinarily difficult for them to pull this off. And it's going to take a number of moves this season. And this is the least complicated of the seasons, of the two seasons. So it's much more likely that the Celtics will find a way to use it this year and use part of it this year. Now, what type of player are they going after? Someone in the mid-teens. That's what your expectation should be. You should be looking at a player who makes somewhere in the teens. So I know Aaron Gordon is a type of guy that he makes $18 million. Like, he's the type of, he's probably like the high end of what the Celtics are going to be looking at. So that's where we are here, that at least one of these guys is likely to come in this season. Will it be before the season starts? Will it be at the trade deadline? Somewhere between now and then is my expectation of something. So I feel like if they don't use something between now and then, that really puts a lot of pressure on them, because the sign and trade next summer isn't going to be an option. So then what? Then they might have to pivot in how they use it and try to use it to get some other assets. But even that is just, it becomes complicated. So for Boston to get the most out of this, it's use a portion of it now, look at next summer and who might have a useful player that they might want to clear space and get somebody. You might want to get somebody in the $10, $11, $12 million range. And when it's all said and done, I think the Celtics end up probably using 20, 22, 23 million of this, that they don't use the entire 28 and a half. And so that's about what I would expect. That's about what I would expect. Obviously, so much can change in a heartbeat. We don't know. Like we saw with Golden State, somebody gets hurt, you change your approach. You know, Klay Thompson got hurt. They pivoted. They used their trade exception to acquire Kelly Oubre. You know, that's a great recent example of a team using a trade exception to improve their team in a way that they pivoted. The Celtics, if something happens with Kemba Walker and his knee just doesn't recover somehow or whatever, or if somebody else, heaven forbid, gets hurt, they can pivot and use this trade exception to get some help for sure. So that's my expectation. And those are the limitations. So hopefully that has now put all of the pieces together with the Gordon Hayward traded player exception. I think we've nailed it down. The final summary is, don't expect all 28 and a half to be used. Expect only a portion of it to be used because the Celtics are hard capped this season. Expect them to maybe try to get a player before they let it expire next season. Don't be surprised if a portion of it goes away, and that'll be it. Those two players will be the return for Gordon Hayward, and that'll be the final judgment of how this all worked out. In the end, it's not great. It really is not great. You're losing Gordon Hayward, and the players that you're getting in return are, you know, is that the palatable answer? I talked about flipping Gordon Hayward for two useful guys, and this is the best we can do. It's probably better than what you can get from Indiana. I feel good about saying that, considering taking contracts into account for sure. But depending on what they get, maybe even that's up for debate. But in the end, this has not been a great offseason. The Celtics improved in a couple of areas. Jeff Teague is an improvement over Wanamaker. Tristan Thompson is an improvement over Kanter. That's good. I think the draft was okay. It was solid, nothing crazy. B minus, somewhere in there. And then Hayward leaving, that was a tough one. And so hopefully we'll get answers from Danny Ainge later on Tuesday about what that whole situation was, how it all went down. We'll see what we can get. But that's where we are. And of course, if any of this is still unclear, you can hit me on Twitter at RedsArmy_John. I will try my best to answer even more questions if they come up. Up next, guess who's back? Evan Turner, back with the Boston Celtics, this time as a coach. Hey, if you're looking for a great holiday gift for the Boston Celtics fan in your life, try my book, The Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars, The Best Players at Each Position for the Seas. I went all the way back to the beginning of Boston Celtics history and picked two players at each position plus two wild cards and two coaches to put together an all-star team of all Boston Celtics greats. It was a very difficult process. I left some very important people off, but in the end, I think I've put together an amazing all-star team from Boston Celtics history. So go to wherever you can buy books, online or in stores, the Boston Celtics all-time all-stars, the best players at each position for the C's, is now available. So go ahead and get a copy for the Boston Celtics fan in your life. Be sure to follow our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. If you want to get basketball smart, it starts with listening to the Hollinger and Duncan podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, of course. NBA analytics pioneer and front office insider John Hollinger joins Dunked On podcast host Nate Duncan to bring you scouting reports, game breakdowns, and salary cap analysis. Subscribe to Hollinger and Duncan today, wherever you get podcasts. Shout out to @son_of_Atreus on Twitter, who tweeted at me, "Hey, JK, you got to talk about the possibility of Zaire Smith on the latest episode of Locked On Celtics." Okay, I gotta. And I get it. This is, I'm not sure what we're going to get out of Zaire Smith, but here's the situation. If you don't know Zaire Smith's story, he was drafted. He was highly touted, an athletic guy, very athletic player out of college. He goes to Philly. They basically almost killed him with an allergic reaction. Like there was I think it was a peanut allergy or some sort of allergy. They fed him some food that he was allergic to. He goes in the hospital, seriously, literally nearly dies. Loses a ton of weight. Comes back. Gets hurt again. Philly lets him go. It's just, this is as bad a start to the career that anybody could have. He gets traded to Detroit. Detroit waives him. He is now a free agent. So there is the possibility of a kind of steal out there in Zaire Smith, who is a smaller kind of wing, but like I said, was super athletic. Has, you know, when Philly fans were waiting for him to get better, there was a lot of like, "Hey, Zaire Smith's getting better. Like, wait till we get Zaire Smith." And so I don't know if he's ever going to recover fully from this. And I don't know what he's going to be as an NBA player. But if it's not the Celtics, some team should bring him in for, you know, just to take a flyer, see where he's at, see how he's doing, see what the, you know, where's he stand with, you know, his recovery from everything, recovery from the injury, you know, all of it. People were high on Zaire Smith, and sure, if the Celtics want to bring him in, I'm not opposed to that. A lot of people like him. Now, he has not had a lot of opportunity, and he's, whatever little opportunities he's struggled with. I don't know that he's in a place now to earn a spot. It might be better off, honestly, if he goes to a place like OKC or one of these struggling teams, these teams with roster spots and no hope. I want to say New York, but I don't know if I want to put Zaire Smith in with the Knicks and Tom Thibodeau. I don't know if that's the right fit for him, but a team with opportunity, a chance to develop him, that could be a good situation for Zaire Smith. I don't know that it's Boston, but it could be. It could be. And I do hope that he gets an opportunity. So there's your Zaire Smith talk. Again, if Boston wants to give him a shot, sure, why not? But I want to see him. I really want to see him because everything that happened in Philly, I want to see him get a real chance. And I don't know if Boston is his real chance. Evan Turner is back in Boston. He is going to be an assistant coach replacing Kara Lawson. So Kara Lawson left during the bubble to go become the head coach of the Duke women's basketball team. And now they had the opening on the bench, and it appears that Evan Turner is taking that spot. This is amazing. Evan Turner played last season with the Hawks. When the Hawks came into town, it was wild to see the entire Boston beat in the Hawks locker room just crowded around him. The guys in the Hawks were very confused. Like, Vince Carter is getting stretched out, and two dozen people are around Evan Turner because he's a quote machine. Now, I don't know that he's going to have an opportunity to be that quote machine on the record, but I'm sure that the Celtics will allow him to talk every once in a while just to throw some red meat to some of the people on the beat who are very, very, very excited to have Evan Turner back, including a former co-host of this podcast who is extraordinarily excited. Having Evan Turner back, though, is really, I think it's a nice move for the Celtics. It gets the Celtics a recent former player, a guy that these guys have competed against. Some of these guys have competed against. So they know he knows what this league is about. They know he knows what it's like to get a big contract. They know that he knows what it's like to have been a pretty high pick and watch that opportunity kind of slip away and have him not live up to those expectations and have to adjust his role. He has a lot to offer these young guys. You know, some of these guys that might not be quite sure of their standing in the league, Evan Turner has seen it all. You know, he's high expectations, get him out of here type of reactions, living up to a big contract, like I said, you know, the Boston thing where he adjusted his role and had some success, all of that stuff. He really does have this breadth of knowledge that is going to be indispensable for the Celtics. I think that he's going to be a very relatable person on the staff with the players. Now, he's not a player, so you still have, like, he's not going to be able to go sit in the locker room and just hang out and be one of the guys because he still has to go back and be a coach. And so there's always going to be a barrier there. So I'm sure that there's going to be players on the team that's like, when ET walks in, it's like, hey, you know, cool, but, you know, the players are talking, and there's some things that maybe the players want to talk about that the coaches don't need to hear. And I'm sure, you know, Turner can keep a secret, and he will be relied on. Some people will confide in him stuff, but at the same time, he's still a coach, so there's that little bit of a barrier. But again, he has learned a lot. He has learned how to adjust his game, which is going to help some of these younger players as they try to make their way in the league. I just think it's a good hire. It's one of those types of players, former players now, I should say, that really makes sense in this role. And he's going to be in a player development role with the Celtics. We talked about it a little bit when when that opening came up. I've talked about it a bunch of times on this podcast that some sort of this kind of leader is necessary on this team. And if they weren't going to get it with the 15th roster spot, then getting it with an assistant coach is going to be helpful. It's going to be helpful. Having a guy like this that players can lean on, because no one knows the NBA quite like a player, this is going to be helpful. I think it's a really smart move. You know, he's obviously, he's a very funny guy, so he's going to be very relatable. And like I said, the media is going to love him because he's ET and he is a quote machine. So I'm excited for that. I think it's a great move for the Celtics. And we'll see what his overall role and future is with this franchise. It's nice to see him back. It's going to be fun to hear him talk about this opportunity at some point this week, I hope. If he does talk, I will play it for you. That's for sure. So make sure you're subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast. I love playing you guys the actual availabilities that they hold. So if there's anything that is said or any topic that's covered or something that I feel relevant, I will share it on this podcast so you can hear directly from them the context, the tone, the inflection, and all of that stuff. So make sure you're subscribed. You regular subscribers, thank you for the 5-star ratings. Thank you for the good written review. And hey, buy my book, by the way, The Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars, The Best Players at Each Position for the Seas. Now available wherever you can buy books. It ships in time for Christmas, so please go do that. Thanks for listening. This has been the Locked On Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.